brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to this sud segment where good beer or good mead meets really bad radio.
God, nothing beats speak. Really bad radio.
Stop. I'm your hostess, good old gal Juliana, and with me today are my esteemed colleagues. Like the way I said that. Good old boy Dave.
I don't know how to respond to that. I've never been called an esteemed colleague before.
Must be the mead talking. Good old boy Jason.
Hello, everyone.
And good old boy Sparky.
Avast me hearties.
That is so inappropriate.
Wow. Yeah.
Whatever. But, that was a euphemism when you were called esteemed. I'm just saying. I'm not sure.
Elongated.
Of course you would say that. Well, ladies and gents, today's episode is, well, is it really an episode or is it just a really good excuse to drink mead? That's right. Nectar of the gods and probably the oldest fermented beverage on earth. That's what we're going to talk about. Mead played a role in ancient history throughout Europe, Asia, and Africa.
And actually, good old boy Jason and someone we used to call good old boy Mike, we call him a lot of different things, have done a couple of episodes before. One was called Prior Shay, Please Pass the Mead, and the second one was called Covered in Honey. I'd encourage anyone who wants to learn more about mead to go back and listen to those episodes, partly because Jason gave a ton of good information about mead, but mostly because I don't anticipate there being any educational value to this episode.
I just hope you guys don't do any more of those British accents for Star Wars impersonations.
Nah, man, don't worry. We only have to do the accents when Mike is here, so we're solid.
Oh, I do believe that you are making fun of the fact that there are not high quality British accents in this show already.
He showed up.
Damn! Who let him in? How did he get in here? Seriously,
well, you were going to drink mead, and you needed good fake British accents to, you know, make this a high quality mead show again. So of course I'm coming.
Hashtag sad.
Oh well. Okay. Good old boy Sparky, why don't you do the suds rating for us? And I guess you'll have to use a fake accent. Maybe Viking this time.
I Viking. I mean, is that like? Is that
I am
like,
Loki.
No, I don't. It's a good try. What is that like? Some confluence between like Swedish and pirate? Is that what we're going for here?
Two parts pirate, one part Swedish chef.
You have to chug a mead.
Bork, bork, bork. All right. So we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds rating plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. One. That sucks. Give me anything but a sheep's horn full of fermented cat milk.
Man,
two.
That sounds nasty.
Was that a berserker cleaving a man's skull? Three. Ah, what a relief.
Yeah, a little
four. A body should really not be making that sound of being struck with a battle axe. And five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another wench, two pieces of mutton, and a cask to your finest need.
What exactly is mutton?
It's
lambish.
Yeah,
it's sheep. It's a grown
yeah.
sheep.
Yeah, it's sheep. It's like tough. Like,
see, I was gonna say that's well older. Fermented roadkill from Alabama, mm. but you know,
well, you, it's already, an elder sheep.
That's good eats. Mm. And
I think there's a yeah. Viking cereal called Mutton Honey.
But. Oh, my spleen just ruptured. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Dave, sorry.
Oh, you son of a. So today we'll be trying some meads, and here are those meads that we will be trying today. From Bee Nectar, we have Tuco Style Freak Out, Black Fang, and Kill All the Golfers. From Moonlight Meadery, we have Coffee in Bed and Kurt's Apple Pie. From Arctos Meadery, there's Cricket Song and Fairy Godmother. They have a crazy, freaky, weird website, by the, just in case you guys wanted to know.
Should I drink mead before I go to the website, or will it make you want to drink mead after?
Do you have to use a fake Viking accent while you're reading there?
Actually,
website?
To log into the website, you do have to say something in Norwegian. Mm. And then from Shrams, we have Nutmeg Honey Wine. And from Harris Meadery, Key Lime Pie.
Hmm. Okay.
And the word of the day is, hey, say it again.
Bork, bork, bork. No, oh, no, no, wait, sorry.
What's the word of the day?
Kalsaraka.
Kalsarakanit. Kalsarakanit. Kalsarakanit.
Kalsarakanit. Hmm. Everyone say that.
Kalsarakanit.
Y'all said it wrong. Nope. Just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
Denied.
Well, just in case there are people listening who aren't quite sure what mead is or never saw it or anything like that, good old boy Jason, please give us some of the basics.
All right. Mead is fermented honey. Fermented honey beverage. Meads. I hope no one's allergic. But yeah, an ancient beverage, honey and water mixed together, fermented out. There are an infinite number of varieties that you can do with mead, but let me give you a couple of basics. You'll see the term methlagen. That's honey with herbs and spices.
I thought meth was death.
I was going to say, I saw Breaking Bad. I know what that's about. Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
There's no herbs and spices in that. But there is in methlagen.
There's lithium batteries and cold medicine.
Braggot's another one. That's mead with malted grain. So kind of a mix of beer and mead. Then you have Pimet, which is mead with grapes. So kind of a blend of wine and mead. And then finally, Melomel is another variety. There's more besides these four, but Melomel is a common one. And that is meads with fruits other than grapes, so your berries and your citrus and things of that nature. Those are probably the four most common things you'll see out in the market, aside from your straight meads, which can have various strengths. So you'll see the term sack mead or session mead sometimes. Those varieties are out in the market. Those would be just straight honey.
I long for the day when somebody will say, man, that was a really crushable session mead.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's out there, folks. I mean, there are some 5-6% meads out there in the market and being made by homebrewers and people of that nature.
Wow. Okay.
So, all right. Well, let's talk more drinky. I'll go first. Wait, why am I going first? Damn it. Okay. Who wrote this?
Yeah, out there. That's usually what goes through my head all the time. Yeah. Who wrote this, Dave?
Fine. So we're each going to talk about our top three, and I will start. My favorite of the flight. Notice how I spaced out my words to create dramatic effect.
Antissa.
I thought that's just because you couldn't find your place on the page.
Shut up. They don't have to know that,
it's
jerk.
It's a really long category for Dave. I can't find my place on the page.
Oh, so. I hate you guys so much. Okay, so my favorite was... I hate you guys so much. Have I mentioned that I hate you guys so much? .com. So my favorite of the flight was Tuco Style Freakout from Bee Nectar. It's, let's see, it's orange blossom honey, awesome, agave nectar, more awesome, lime juice, and lime zest. That's pretty basic, but it's very good. It's pale green and crystal clear with a fizzy head that disperses swiftly to the rim. I didn't write it. That's just what it says.
Do you guys need some time alone? All right.
Tart lime engulfs the tongue, followed to a creamy... Wait.
Good Lord!
Followed by a creamy sweetness of honey and agave. Can you taste the climax? Oh, wait. I said that in the other episode. Medium-bodied with a lime pith. It is pith, P-I-T-H, bitterness on the semi-dry finish. A zip of acidity adds to the wonderful balance of the sweet, tart, and bitter flavors. Well, what can I really add to that other than it's pretty good?
Wow.
It's very citrusy. Definitely pick up a lot of the lime. Nice, crisp finish. Very light-bodied. I give this Tuco's Style Freakout a... 4. My next one is also from Bee Nectar. Kill all the golfers.
Not just some of them?
No, especially the ones at this table.
All of them.
4. This is a mead with black tea and lemon juice. It's got... gallberry honey? Gallbladder honey?
Gallberry.
It's got gallbladder honey, black tea, and lemon juice. It's deep gold, and it's got a bunch of big words on it, too.
It's the Arnold Palmer of meads.
Yeah, if Arnold Palmer was a mead, this would be his drink. And you can taste the old golfer in it.
Okay, we'll come back to you in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. We are in the middle of a special mead episode.
Have you tried the honey liquor we call mead?
See, it's good time for more fake British accents.
No, see, that was a good British accent. That was accent.
Well, man.
Yeah. And it was not fake.
It's from Scotland.
Wow.
Anyways, good old boy Dave was waxing poetic about
I was talking about killing golfers. A mead called Kill All the Golfers from Bee Nectar Meadery.
I think Dave would be one of those guys. He would just walk all over my line all day long. He'd go, wait, was your ball going to go right there?
I'd be the guy driving the cart looking for the 19th hole. Mm. Isn't that the beer girl? No. Isn't that what they call that?
You know, you have to drive you have to drive on the left-hand side on the golf course, though.
Is it British? Oh, see, now you got me doing it. You tricked me.
and my evil plan is coming through.
Well, the reason I like Kill All the Golfers... like the last mead I talked about, it's got a lot of citrus in it, but it's a different kind of citrus. It's a heavier lemon flavor versus the lime that mixes well with the black tea. And it's still, it's really full body. It's only 6% alcohol, but it's a very good mead. And I gave it a 4. Finally, what is a big surprise to me is I've never even heard of these guys before, but it's a great mead. Is from Harris Meadery Key Lime Pie. I'm guessing it probably tastes like key lime pie. I don't eat key lime pie, but if I did, this is what key lime pie would taste like.
Nailed it.
Let's see. I'm just reading through some stuff. It's done well in Jacksonville, apparently, Florida. So I think they grow a lot of key limes in Florida. Mike, is that true? True or false?
Yes, they do grow key limes in Florida. We actually had a key lime tree at one of our homes in Florida for a while.
Your own manservant to pick the key limes off the tree for you?
He did, but he had a very fake British accent about him, and I just had to let him go.
Did you did you have to punish him when he dropped the key limes? I'm sure you did.
I'm not quite sure whether I did that or not. So
spoil the rod, spare the key servant. Lime. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, this is a really cool, refreshing. It has a nice sweetness. It's kind of in between the other two. It's not as dry and it's not as full bodied, but it's just a very, very drinkable mead, and I really like it. And I also gave it a 4. Am I done?
You're done.
So done.
We can like all breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes. Super Mead Man.
Davey's done. How awesome is that?
Wow.
All right. Well, I've also picked out 3 from our lineup today. I'm going to start with Cricket Song from Arctos Meadery. really? I get crickets. Just because it's in the name doesn't mean no.
It's because you don't have a good fake like British accent.
All right. Arctos Meadery. So here's their description on this wonderful beverage. Just as the cricket chirped at sunset for the villagers of the place of many trees, we too now give you a melody of the bitter and the sweet. So imported Guatemalan green beans roasted and cold brewed in Grand Rapids.
Green beans.
Fused with honey and forged into that perfect harmony between mead and kava. Evening is fast approaching. Wake up and dance to the sweet rhythms of our cricket song. So this one for me, every coffee mead that I ever have from this point forward shall be judged against Cortez from Black Mountain Cider Works in Asheville, North Carolina. And unfortunately, this one didn't quite beat it out, but it was a very close second of the coffee meads that I've had. To get coffee flavor into a mead without getting harsh bitterness and things of that nature is, I believe it's a challenge from what I've tasted in the past. But this one for me, enjoyable, rich aroma. Both of the flavors of the coffee and a little honey in there as well. The honey holds and carries through. Just a little bit of bitterness, but not overpowering at all. And this one gets a suds rating of 3 from me. All right. Next up on my list, from Bee Nectar, one of my favorite meaderies, just because they are prolific and out in the market quite a bit. They have some great offerings. Black Fang, I enjoyed quite a bit. And Black Fang from Bee Nectar is a mead with blackberries, clove, and orange zest. Essential elements, sweet blackberries, cloves, orange. I cannot say that word. Why do I want to say jest?
Jester King?
Jester King, maybe. I don't know.
You're a joker.
Maybe if you tried it with a fake British accent, it would taste better.
It's not a tune.
It might sound better, but it would not taste better. I can guarantee you that. All right. Anyway, appearance. Deep red with an enduring lacy white head. Sweet pungent aroma, balanced clove, spicy floral notes. Let's see, there are other notes here. Sweet and smooth with a full-bodied dark berry wine character reminiscent of Spanish sangria
and
Grenache grape wine. The creamy and carbonated mouthfeel finishes dry with a firm clove aftertaste. 6% on this one, so not a huge overpowering beverage. My own personal tasting notes on this one, very berry forward, some light apricot notes at times for me, kind of interesting. Pretty good balance of sweetness with the fruit, but if I had to knock this one just a little bit, I think they lost some of the honey character. I think it's overpowered a little bit by the berry, and I don't get as much of the spicy character coming through over that berry either. I think the berries, it kind of pushed everything. It's there, but pushed it a little to the back. Very enjoyable, very drinkable. Does get that wine-like character. I give this one a suds rating of 3 as well. All right. So my last one on the list is one of these ones that we talked about, Methlagen, earlier on. This falls into the Methlagen's category. So this is from Schramm's, and it is Nutmeg Honey Wine. Honey wine's just another word for mead. And this one, let's get their description on this one. Schramm's Nutmeg utilizes the seed of a tropical evergreen, and I can't even begin to pronounce the actual word for that, Mystica fragrans, not too bad, native of the islands of Indonesia.
If you'd used a fake British accent, that would have been correct.
Probably. Yeah, I think you're right. Its aroma is warm, creamy, and full-bodied, making it a seasonal favorite for chilly fall evenings. Paired with honey, nutmeg creates a concentrated, voluptuous mead, which pairs beautifully with fish and roasted poultry. And on this one, my own personal notes, spice and sweetness all over the aroma. Honestly, for me, a little too sweet of a finish. The spices play well with the honey, and there is plenty of honey character here left, which I look for in a good mead. I don't want that honey to get wiped out by all the adjuncts that are added to it. But if I had to knock this one, maybe just a little bit too sweet of a finish. It's definitely a fireside sipping warm weather kind of mead.
Would you have it with fish?
I would think a more robust fish, it might hold up. The fish might hold up against it. But if you're talking light,
about Swedish fish.
Well, I one of the worst experiences of my life, fermented shark.
Ew.
Don't go there.
Did you lose a bet?
People just, we didn't lose. It wasn't a bet. It was,
you ate it willingly.
It
was a bit of a challenge laid out to all present. It was a horrendous experience.
Tested
and
manhood.
That's all I have to say about that.
Would this guy wear with spotted dick?
No, but an ointment will.
You might want to get that looked at, Mike.
The meat is not going to, it's not going to help you.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
All right, we've got to move on here, folks. Nutmeg Honey Wine from me, suds rating 3.
Is there really anywhere to go from here?
It's one of the few times that I wish that we would take a picture. It was just his reaction, you know, at that moment. It's just like, wow.
Okay, moving right along. Yeah. Good old boy Sparky, what are your top picks?
So I think my first one is going to have to be the Nutmeg Honey Wine from Schramm's. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth myself, and I don't think there's anything as too much sugar. And I love, you know, like a good ruby port, crusty with sugar and all that good stuff. I love those things as well. And I thought this was great. It was really interesting because I don't think we've gotten to this yet, but we had, when it came to adjunct flavors, we actually had some really great examples and some really not great examples. Mm. One of them that I will not mention at the moment was like getting punched in the face with a box of fall seasonings. it was pretty terrifying. But then you taste this Schramm's and it's, you know, it's nice, it's sweet, it's just like, you know, again, like I think I would recline in a smoking jacket in a well-worn chair next to the fire and I don't know, take advantage of myself or something with a glass of this.
The key is no pants.
Pants.
No pounce pants allowed.
Wait, the word. Kalsarikainit. Farfik Nugent. See, yes, yeah, I brought that back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Like wow. That. Somehow yeah. you
it's our
took,
new jingle.
Somehow yeah. you took that word and made it dirty. Like it was kind of weird before, but you really.
I use my mouth prettier than a $5 whore. So,
in today's economy, have you seen any $5? They're not that pretty.
And I think that was even, talented. I think that was even inflated from the Blazing Saddles version too. So, but just so balanced and smooth, sweet. I don't know. Maybe it was too sweet, but there's no such thing. So I will take it, and I'd have to give that a 4. That was a delightful surprise, especially in contrast to the one that was like getting punched in the face with false seasoning packet number 5.
Have you really been punched in the face with false seasoning?
Yes, it's a Jewish tradition, actually. It's true.
It's a test of, it's when you become a man.
That's how they do it. It's yeah. not pretty.
Nice.
I think my number 2 on this list would have to be Kill All the Golfers. Not only because I enjoy Carl Spackler, one of my great heroes of all time, but just I love Arnold Palmer. See, you can't speak Latin. I can't speak Arnold Palmer's name without messing it up. You know, we all have our foibles.
It would sound better with a fake British accent.
I'm tired of hitting the buzzer, dude.
The rest of this episode. A tasted of apricots.
There you go. See?
Very good.
But yeah, Arnold Palmer's are one of my dirty pleasures during the summer, especially when you add
apparently
booze
you
to
have
them.
Several dirty pleasures.
I am a filthy man.
Lemon belongs nowhere near tea.
Yeah. Oh my. I'm just, you're wrong there, but we can agree to disagree. Bygones.
Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
So, but no, I got some nice, nice, almost apricots at the beginning is kind of what hit me. It was weird. I didn't really get the citrus until the back end, and then just like a big rush of black tea. And then the lemon at the end, you know, not too sweet. Really just enjoyed the heck out of it. See, I'm trying to find it right now. Here we go. One more time.
Do it. Do it.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. That reminds me like back when I was addicted to Snapple in the 90s, right? I mean, that's it right there.
Weren't we all,
plus
though?
Booze.
Hello, my name is Jason, and I am addicted to Snapple.
In a British accent.
Yeah, right. Well,
bam.
You know,
yeah. Once again,
I'm banning your British accent. Okay,
so, right. So I'm going to go ahead and give that one a 4-2.
Wait, a 4 or a 2?
4-2.
4. 42. Well.
It is the meaning of life.
Yeah, it is. It's true. And then I think I was going to cover one that I didn't care for. Matter of fact, I would call this bottled hatred. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think that's
put that coffee down.
Damn Skippy, Mr. Baldwin. So we had this amazing, I thought Cricket song was fantastic. Great example of a coffee. That was the first time I had a coffee meet, and it was great. Fortunately, I tried that first, because the next thing I tried was, good God, coffee in bed.
Bum, bum, bum.
My tasting notes were, no, sir.
Nope.
Here, I'm going to subject myself to this because I like self-abuse. One moment.
He likes the pain, folks.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I want to scrape my tongue off. Wow, oh, my God. So somebody said it tasted like what you rinse your mouth out with medicinally at the dentist. I think that's probably one of the tasting notes. I think this would be a great thing to drink on a bet. You know, if you lost a bet and needed something to wash down fermented shark,
yeah.
The fermented shark just really chases well with coffee in bed. I don't know what's going on in this.
I do think I would try the fermented shark again before I tried coffee in bed.
Oh,
again.
Snap.
Wow.
Dang.
Cold-blooded. Wow.
I bet the fermented shark people are going to start using that as their tagline. Well,
not as bad as this.
Yeah, it's better than coffee in bed.
But, man, it's a train wreck. I don't even know how I can describe how bad this is. Does anybody else have any pithy comments to describe their...
Just stop making it.
Yeah, please, please. This episode is an intervention to tell you to please, for the love of God, stop making this. Do something else.
Scotty, don't.
Don't.
Well, my question is was there even honey in there? Like, I searched really hard to try to find a hint of honey, and I just couldn't.
It's like bad coffee that vanishes into this really disappointing flaccid sweetness.
I don't
think
it's as bad now as it was. Like, now that it's warmed up, it's not as bad as it was. It's just really, really sweet.
Bad. It's...
No, it's
well, he didn't say it in a British accent, so I guess
and,
I'll have to go
and,
with that.
And no British accents. I'm going to have to give this Summagun a big fat number one.
Wow.
Well, the bitterness just basically sweeps away the rest of your palate, and yeah, it's not in a good way, you know. And you can can see what this looked like maybe on the recipe, you know, but it is just not working. I think what's interesting is here on our show notes is that this actually did quite well in a meat competition. And I'm like, did we have the same thing? You
know? Yeah, bronze medal at the International Mazer Competition in the open mead category. But I did find one note that they had here. Interesting. Mediterranean cucumber salad.
What? Yeah, I've been to the Mediterranean. I've had their cucumber salad. And I'm going to call shenanigans on that tasting note. That's my official stance.
They would ask you to leave.
This is followed quickly by baba ganoush, fresh vegetables, and Jamaican jerk chicken.
Maybe a couple of food trucks ran into the tasting table and there was an accident.
So would you give this to a friend you hate or a relative you hate?
A relative friend that I
hate. And he's staring right at me as he's saying that. You know, what's
I didn't blink either.
Just, you know.
Dead on.
Mm.
Or would you give it to people that have really bad fake British accents?
I'm not even hitting that.
Some people deliver a fish wrapped in newspaper. Other people will give you coffee in bed.
There you go. Mm. Wow.
Okay. Well, we will... We will continue on in just a minute after this brief interlude.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. We are in a heated mead debate. Coffee or no coffee?
Well,
there's some coffee.
Some coffee.
Coffee is a beautiful
coffee
thing.
When it's
if
not
done
weaponized.
Appropriately.
The right coffee.
Yeah.
But
if someone doesn't pour hot coffee on you in bed, maybe that's.
Well,
maybe
some
that's
people
what this
maybe
is.
Like that, Dave, and I don't think you should, you know,
on
judge
certain
me
parts of you
or other people.
Yeah.
Is it okay if it's wax from a coffee scented candle?
No. No, that's just over the line.
Who peels it off?
Well, isn't that the point? Well,
the barista.
And we're back to the group therapy session.
Okay.
Got dark really quick.
Next up is good old boy Mike in a plethora of accents. Who will he be next?
I will not do any. Maybe.
Come on.
Let's not even go
there. Come on.
Yeah. So in my top three out of today's flight, number one is the Black Fang from Bee Nectar. Jason has already covered some of the background on this. My own tasting notes for that particular mead is this is Blackberry City all the way. That was the thing that really caught me. Oddly, I'm not a blackberry fan. And so
I thought it was raspberries.
There's a long list of berries that I don't particularly enjoy, but
Barry Manilow.
I thought raspberry was your safe word.
No, that's a different show.
It's rutabaga.
My safe word is nuclear green. So anyway,
wow.
But this is definitely a blackberry city all the way. It was tart. It was floral. It was really complex. This was easily my favorite in the entire flight. My Sedge rating is a 4 for this. So one of the things I enjoyed, I love how Jason said that the berries kind of overwhelmed this. And I thought that was a pretty good representation of some of the sweet aspects that you would traditionally look for within a great mead. Maybe got a little bit lost in this. So if there was anything that I would say would probably improve it a bit would be some measure of sweetness to come back in this, but don't lose the essence of the blackberry.
Maybe a stronger variety of honey.
Yeah, a little more honey flavor. It doesn't necessarily have to be sweetness, but the character of the honey, both the aroma and the flavor, if you could carry a little bit through past the berry.
What's Tupelo or what's like a really assertive honey? I know buckwheat honey is pretty...
Buckwheat wouldn't be appropriate here, but Tupelo is very distinctive in flavor. Some of your single varietal type honeys might carry through as well.
Mm. Well, number two here on my lineup is something we've talked about extensively as well, which is Kill All the Golfers from Bee Nectar. I think one of the things that I like about this product the most is its wide availability. I can't begin to tell you how many markets that I've been into where Bee Nectar is in that market.
Yeah.
And most importantly, this product is on the shelf. I've probably seen Kill All the Golfers in more on-premise, restaurants as well, is probably one of the more popular meads that I've seen. The one thing that struck out to me in terms of my tasting notes was right off their own description, which is black tea and lemon juice. And I think for people where that taste profile that they like from traditional English style teas, where you're having it, traditionally with a lemon wedge and maybe a touch of cream, even with that, this is right in that, very traditional flavor profile. Instead of me actually writing a bunch of tasting notes, the tasting notes that were in their description really were a very accurate description.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those times where I went, I don't know what you were tasting, but it's nothing like what was on that marketing shtick. So actually, I thought this one was dead on. So you really do get an awful lot of that very robust black tea. The lemon, both lemon peel is there. So I really enjoyed the balance of all this as well. This was really a very solid product for me. Also a 4.
Man, Bee Nectar. I mean, they make so many meads and they're in so many places. They must go through a butt ton of honey.
Well, that's one of the nice things about them is they do have a great deal of market saturation, but they are consistent. They have high quality. I don't know that I've had anything bad from them yet. There may be favorites, ones that stand out beyond others, but they just have great consistency, great quality in their product, and the fact that they're able to get that out in the market in so many different markets is just outstanding.
Hmm. Well, the last thing in my lineup here is something that we have talked about quite a bit already, so I'm not going to talk about this one a whole lot, which is the Key Lime Pie from Harris Meadery. My own tasting notes, I really thought this was well balanced. Probably of the everything we had in this flight today, this was probably the best made product that we had in all of these meads. I could really taste, even within the samples that we had today, there was just something about the element of it was a well-finished product. And it just reminded me something of where the artistry was really coming through in the product itself. And, this has really had a lot of industry accolades, and I don't really think they're overselling it here at all. I really think this was also a solid 4 for me. I thought the one of the interesting, I actually put both the Key Lime, you know, products out as the last ones that I wanted to taste because I was very concerned about how that would kind of overwhelm my palate, and I just didn't want to be fighting that through the rest of the flight. And I was really shocked when I kind of got around to this, you know, after going through everything else, I was like, wow, I wish I had put those up front as opposed on the last part of the flight to enjoy, because this was actually quite good. And I would definitely come back around to that. I'm not a huge key lime, you know, fan. It's just, you know, a little too acidic, you know, for me in the lime family. And maybe it is because I grew up, you know, just Mike, can you go out and, you know, pick a bowl of key limes, you know, squeeze off. And, you know, there's something about the acidic nature of that particular lime variety.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there with that one. The key lime works well in the mead. I've had other versions. I've made versions of mead that had key lime in them, and that acidity and the citrus character cuts through the sweetness of the honey.
Yeah.
And what impressed me with this key lime from Harris Meadery was that they still had a lot of honey character left in. It wasn't overpowered by the citrus, by the key lime, but it also didn't finish too sweet, too cloyingly sweet. They were in great balance. And like I said, that acidity cut right through the sweetness, but left you with the wonderful honey character.
I think that speaks to how well they control their fermentation too, because they let it go long enough to not be too sweet, but they didn't let it dry out either. You know, it finished at about the right place.
Hmm. I'd wanted to talk about that we haven't covered that was definitely on the bottom for me. So I have like this image of, I want to say it's Carol Kane that played the part in Scrooge, where she's coming down and her, you know, she's kicking her legs and she's about to talk with, you know, Bill Murray, and she's going, oh, I don't know how she said it. Anyway.
Oh, come
she
on.
She almost had on, a dude. British accent.
Oh, no. She doesn't have a British accent. She was just like, and we go back and forth and back and forth, and she slaps him on the, you know, with the toaster, and she goes, it was just, anyway. So
you had to be there.
Fairy Godmother from Arcos Meadery is what I wanted to talk a little bit about here. Not this part, you know, in Scrooge, but, you know, so their description here, some of their flavor profile explains exactly why this giant blender of spice hell is not working. So,
wow.
So it says that they have transformed pumpkin, cinnamon, ginger, and other enchanting spices.
Is that like getting hit in the head with a spice bag?
Yeah, a golden carriage steeped in honey and aged in oak. Yeah, it's just a mess. In fact, the thing I wrote down, it's just a nutmeg bomb. This is like a pumpkin spice from hell that's going on. This is something that I'm afraid that someone would give me as a gift, and I wouldn't even re-gift this bad boy. I would just pour it down the drain. Dang. It just was really bad. The only thing I could hear was like the Nutcracker suite, you know, playing in the background going, please tell me this is over very, very soon. We're actually going to get back into some real food in January. So yeah, this was a solid suds one for me, and I'm being kind.
And I think it was interesting, like having that next to the Schramm's nutmeg honey wine, because you saw how, I mean, nutmeg is a weaponized spice. It can be very powerful.
Well, but also how, so they also did the cricket song.
Yeah.
And so that one showed a lot of control in how they handled the coffee. This one, it smells like, if you were just going to smell it, it smells amazing. It's like really delicious, but it's, the flavors are really a little.
You have to take out a restraining order after it attacks your tongue.
Don't put it in your nose, Mike. Just smell it.
Well, I have to agree with you. That was one of my tasting notes as well, was there's a wonderful aroma on this. I enjoyed it. I was looking forward to that first sip. I took that first sip, and I immediately wanted to expel it from my mouth and
nose.
He
wanted to have some fermented shark right away.
I think I just have a thing with, you know, that flavor profile for pumpkin beers and pumpkin
I think
meats.
We're also burned out
on
pumpkin
pie beers. I know a guy that can help you
beers.
Out there. Yeah. No. I'm sorry.
Let's get to Julia.
Okay. Well, the first one that I want to talk about is one that we didn't talk about and was the last one of the bad three, if that makes any sense. It's Kurt's Apple Pie from Moonlight Meadery. And I had high expectations coming in on this because, well, based on the description, it's our biggest selling mead made with local apple cider, Madagascar bourbon vanilla, and Vietnamese cinnamon spice. Get your piece of the pie. This mead is a great after-dinner dessert wine that is perfect finish to any holiday meal. Two-time medal winner at the Mazer Cup International. Okay, and I'm thinking apple pie mead. Yeah, that's good. We've had some apple pie-ish meads before, and they've been yummy. And then I had this one, and
she cried.
Well, I did, because the spices were off, the apple was off, the wine was off. There just was, I was searching for the pie, and I just couldn't find it at all. It was, I mean, I don't know if this was just a bad batch or what, but I mean, I've had other meads from Moonlight, and I've enjoyed them, but this one too, just like the coffee in bed, it was just such a letdown. And this one, I gave a 2.
It's not a tumor.
Now, that being said, let me get to the good stuff. First of all, Harris Meadery Key Lime Pie. Okay. When I think of key lime pie, it's sweet and it's acidic, and then it's got that graham cracker softness that kind, you know, that's the kind of perfect key lime pie that I look forward to in the summer. And this was in there, and it was beautiful. I mean, I know there's no graham crackers in there or any sort of graham crackerness.
There actually is.
Is there? Okay.
A little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of the like graham crackery crust kind of thing.
Because it was there. It was there. And the thing is it was beautiful. And like you guys said, the acidity kind of cut through the heaviness of what a mead could be and made it just absolutely perfect. I don't know what you guys are doing there in Florida, but please keep doing it.
And send it to us.
And make your way to Tennessee, please. It's absolutely stunning. And I gave that one a 5. The second one that I was really in love with was the Schramms. And it's not just because it was Schramms, although, I mean, let's be real, folks. It's Schramms. What have they ever made that was bad? But what I loved about it was that it lingered on the tongue. It stayed there, but it wasn't overwhelming. It was just enough of a nutmeg so you get that spiciness without it being a winter spice bomb. And, well, you know what those are. But the honey on this, I felt was a little different too and blended so well with the nutmeg, which I know there's so many different types of honey used, but whatever they use for this particular mead, I thought was very well paired with the nutmeg. And it just was, I mean, it's more beyond a dessert mead to me. This thing was just, it was a meal in itself, and it lingered in all the right ways, and I just was in love with it. And this one I gave a 4. And quickly, the Arctos, the cricket song. First of all, the labeling is badass. Second of all, the color on it was exquisite. And thirdly, the coffiness on it was delicate it was delicate. It wasn't in your face coffee, overwhelming, can't get any honey or sweetness afterwards. This was the most delicate coffee I could ever want in a mead and really enjoyed in a mead, and this was stunning, and I gave it a 4. Well, okay, I guess we're just about done then.
Are we done? Everybody done?
Any Sparky? Last words?
No.
I like mead.
You know, I have the overwhelming feeling that I need to go home drunk, alone in my underwear, with no intention of going out. Or, as they say it there, it is...
Kasarik Canids.
There you go.
Kasarik Canids.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's awesome to know. Well, we hope you enjoyed this rather interesting episode, and you can catch all of our very interesting episodes online, as well as on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube, PRX, and Spreaker, our native media host. iTunes and our own Android app are the easiest ways to enjoy our show on your phone. Just search for Sip Sud Smokes on iTunes or in the Google Play Store. Be sure to tap subscribe, and the show will always be on your phone like your best friend.
We love your feedback, well, most of it, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip Suds and Smoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, I want to thank all of our hosts for joining us today. Oh, really quick as we close out, I just want to say goodbye to everyone. Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, what's in your mead, honey?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, my God.
That joke would be a lot better.
If it was with a fake British accent.
What's in your mead, honey?
Good old boy, Jason.
Goodbye, everyone. And I like mead.
Good old boy, Sparky.
Kalsara Kenet.
Thank you.
Well said.
Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode. Come back, join us once again, and I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to us. Keep on chuggling.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your hosts, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.